So I'm not saying anything that is not already known. It's something that's not communicated. Okay. And that's what we're here to do, is to communicate the truth around the benefits of exercise and better nutrition and better lifestyle choices.
Touché.
And that's exactly what we're doing. Let's go!
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
Every year at the end of December and the beginning of the new year, news outlets start reporting on the top fitness trends of the new year as determined by some of the largest fitness organizations, those with access to data on people's buying behavior. So today we're going to give our thoughts and opinions on the top fitness trends for 2024. And let's start with number one, wearable technology.
Well, what's interesting about this one is it has actually held the number one spot for at least the last 2 years. And so obviously this is one that's not going away. When we're talking about wearable technology, we're talking about our smartwatches, the GPS trackers, the things that measure our heart rate, our steps, our sleep. And, you know, I think that the value of wearables is that for some people, I know we've talked about this topic, for some people, it becomes that point of data which drives them to be more active. And, you know, again, there's never anything bad about that. People trying to get themselves more active and having these data points or ways of tracking it, it gamifies it, which kind of also slips into kind of a subcategory of wearables, which is going to be virtual reality. I'm not sure that I'm ready to go there yet. I know you and I have discussed like how cool it would be if, you know, there could be a hologram of myself or one of our trainers, right, at a studio and being able to walk people through a workout, like that would be pretty cool. Or have that in your living room, which I guess for all intents and purposes, you kind of do have now with things like Tonal, which is the mirror. You have a virtual trainer there in front of you. So I think that we're going to see technology continue to drive a lot of people into fitness, or, you know, maybe step up their fitness. But, you know, I know we also have contending views on this in the sense that while that is good, you know, what are we using some of this stuff for?
Well, I think that that's the biggest thing is, you know, if you want to know how well you sleep or how many hours you're sleeping, I think that that's a great data point. The question I always have is, what are you going to do with it? You know, are you going to turn off the TV? Are you going to have a better nighttime routine? Are you just going to continuously look at the same data point without actually making changes? And I think that that's an issue, you know, like use it for good. I think a lot of these trackers are not meant to be worn on us 24/7, 365. You know, I have not personally seen a lot of the research on that. What I will say, though, is that I recently read an article about your phone being plugged into the charger and how much more radiation it emits.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so people that sleep with their phone next to their head, I don't think it's any different than wearing a tracker with Bluetooth technology that's constantly sending out, you know, communication to your phone. So I'm just going to say, use it with like good discretion, you know. Me personally, I'm not going to be wearing any of this stuff. I don't like it. I think I'm very sensitive to stuff like that. I mean, listen, I'm the person that when they were doing a sonogram or ultrasound of our first child, I was like, ow, that shocked me. And the tech was like, what? You know, so I think some people are more sensitive than others. I definitely fall in that category, which is why I probably stray away from it. But if it's going to help you to become more active, it's going to help you make changes, by all means. I think that that's a great use of it. The only issue I have with this virtual reality is I would like to see the virtual reality be that hologram where we're still being active rather than the other way where we're putting on like an Oculus or we're putting on something that's making us go into another world or into another like portal, so to speak. I want to see us still really be using our bodies in a healthful way rather than entering into something else through our own eyes.
Well, to that point, when I started researching that online, I found pictures of people wearing these things and, you know, they're on a bench doing dumbbell presses and your eyes cannot see what you're doing. And that is where I really take something like that and look at it and go, this is not a good idea. Yeah. You know, I understand the concept behind it and what we're trying to accomplish. And you know, they were saying things like, have your own personal trainer there standing next to you while you do your workout. But it almost looks ridiculous with these, you know, women, most of them scantily clad, wearing these big goggles on their face and with these dumbbells in hand. It's like, you can't work out that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it, to me, that becomes more of a distraction than anything else. And how disoriented are you going to be when you are finished pumping away and then you take that thing off?
Yeah.
And now what's going to happen? I mean, I remember trying on the Oculus, and we had gone for a roller coaster ride with it. And I remember taking that thing off and literally feeling dizzy for a moment.
Yeah.
You know, that this thing is, so as I said, you know, there's definitely value in the future to using things like virtual reality, maybe holograms to help with training and to give people the best workouts possible. But I just don't see it right now with, you know, the way they're going about it. And
well, I'm going to make a prediction, and that prediction is, I'm going to give it like 6 years from now. It's going to be commercials. Did you wear the Oculus on your face for more than 1 hour a day? You know, our eyes are meant to see close up and also far, right? We're nearsighted. We're farsighted. And even, I mean, there's been research that has said if you stare at a computer for a long period of time, which is pretty close to your face, you know, every 15 minutes, you should be gazing off into the distance to give your eye that peripheral, right? And so when we have something that's literally up against our face and we're staring into it for 30 to 60 minutes, I don't think that that's going to be a great thing long term for the strength of our eyes or our eye muscle. And so just another thought as somebody who wears corrective lenses, I know you do also. You know, I'm always thinking about how can I protect my eyes or strengthen my eyes? And I don't think that virtual reality wearables is going to be the way to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, at the end of the day, the real value of the wearables, I think, is the gamification of exercise or activity for a lot of people. Really, I mean, that's what it comes down to, is how can we get more people moving?
Yeah. Well, let's go on to number two, and that is worksite health promotion. These are work-related programs that are really going to create perks to increase employee wellness, which, wow, isn't that a novel idea?
Well, we were talking to somebody just this past weekend, and he made note that while he was doing his internship, he was working for a hedge fund in the city, and that twice a week, they actually had a personal trainer come in and take them through workouts. In fact, his first experience walking into the workplace was the owner of the company doing lunges down the hallway. And, you know, it was encouraging to him because it was like, oh, wow, it's that kind of place. So I think that for those who are working in corporations, bigger companies, where
schools.
This is in school, where this is available, I mean, that's huge, because we do spend more of our time today, more than ever, in seats in front of computers. And to have that break throughout the day where you have the capability of going and exercising, I think, is huge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, next up is fitness programs for older adults. And I think this is so cool because we are living longer right now than we have previously. And so these interventions are really focused on the unique needs of our aging population. So what did you see here?
Well, the most unique need, which we've discussed ad nauseum on this podcast, is treating sarcopenia, which is age-related muscle loss. And I think that the reason why you're going to see more and more programs developing or coming out around treating the aging population is because we're starting to realize how big of a problem this actually is, that many of the age-related diseases are directly tied to changes in body composition, losses in muscle mass. We've obviously pointed out before that, you know, maybe the bigger problem that we're seeing in society is not that people are gaining fat, it's that they're losing muscle. Mm. I mean, both are an issue, but I think the loss of muscle is what directly ties to the increase in fat that we're seeing in all populations, not just the aging population.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be great. Well, next up, a lot of people are going to be excited about this one. We have clients always asking us about it, and that is reimbursement for qualified exercise professionals. So there's policy changes that are going on right now that are going to allow exercise professionals to bill insurance more easily. And that's always been something that's difficult. I know that we've approached this multiple times with our fitness studios, and these insurance companies make it really difficult, you know, to actually give money towards something that's creating health for their people, whereas they have no problem showing up money for prescriptions, surgeries, and everything else.
Well, this is where you get into the politics of it all. Why are we not making fitness, better nutrition, more accessible to more people instead of treating them with medications or other interventions, the answer is right there in front of us. Like, encourage people to be more active, encourage people to eat better. And the easiest way to do that is to get the help of a professional that can guide these individuals in the right direction. Now, what I love is that we are actually connected with a company that is really doing something special. The company is called TrueMed. The founder, one of the founders, Callie Means, you'll see him on a lot of television shows and podcasts. He's on the news a lot because he was one of the individuals that really came out. He was working on the side of Coca-Cola for many years and saw what is actually happening on that side in terms of the politics and the lobbying that goes on and making sure that people have sugary drinks in their hand, that have foods that are not serving their health. And he came out and became the whistleblower for it, saying, like, this is not right. We're seeing that people are getting sick because of these policies that are in place that make this stuff more accessible. And it really is one of those scenarios where, you know, I stand on the side of being more conservative and libertarian, where it's like, hey, let people do what they want to do, choose what they want to choose. But in many cases, you're not giving people the opportunity, though, to choose in a different way. Yeah. And so their company is TrueMed, and how that works with us is that if we have a client sign up in the studio or online, they can go through TrueMed's portal, get on the phone and or tele-interview with a doctor, talk about the reason why they're doing this. And if they have FSA or HSA health savings account, they can use those funds towards our program or similar programs.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, that's awesome. I wish I had that when I was a teacher. I could spend it on, you know, corrective lenses and glasses, but definitely not my gym membership. And it's important. I think it's great. Well, next up we have exercise for weight loss. And so, Mike, I think no one's better than you to dive into this one.
Well, again, another one that's been on the list for many years. I don't see it going anywhere, as weight loss, fat loss more specifically, continues to be a problem. People are looking for more programs built around that. And they're not just looking for workout programs. I mean, I think the way that this was written was actually not that great, saying exercise for weight loss, because we know that exercise has a small impact on weight loss. It's more of a supportive role than anything else. So we don't look to exercise weight off, but then they go on to specify that we're talking about programs that include nutrition coaching, any type of dietary interventions, teaching people how to cook or make better food choices. So I love the fact that this continues to be top of mind for many people.
Yeah. Well, and I think for us specifically, that's always been of primary importance. You know, I know in the beginning when you were like a real solopreneur, it was like, how do you really have time to coach people on training and nutrition and all these things? But I mean, I guess we are kind of like a super team here, right? Being that fitness couple where we can help take a more holistic approach. And I think it's really beneficial to clients when studios, fitness centers are able to do that, because exercise is just a piece of the equation, whether it's 30 or 60 minutes or 45 minutes, you know, people have a whole lot more hours where they're in the kitchen, in the supermarket, at restaurants. And so that education piece, I think, is huge. And so that's probably one of my favorites.
Well, and let me just dive into that for a second. What you just said is exactly it. It's about education. It's not about providing people with another diet or another meal plan to follow, because people just typically don't do that. In fact, somebody had...
Typically, never.
Never. Somebody had written to me the other day just inquiring, you know, do you give me a meal plan? And I had to specify, like, hey, I'm going to be totally transparent. I'm not going to tell you to eat 12 walnuts at noon, because nobody ever does that. But I am going to talk to you about the proper way to eat, or what we believe are the different paths, or what you should be focusing on. Yeah. And then you make the decisions as to which way of eating works best for you and your lifestyle.
Well, and some people don't like that. You know, they're like, just tell me what to do. And I think it's a much more effective approach, because it's giving people guidelines and boundaries so that they can learn to make choices. You know, if someone's constantly spoon feeding you, like, do this, drink this, eat this, you know, it's like, how are you going to learn? So I think it's, we want to always empower people. And I think programs that do that, right on. Yeah. Well, next up, we have employing certified exercise professionals. And so, Mike, well, take us on a journey.
I mean, once again, I can't be any happier that this is something that actually falls into one of the three uniques for our company, is knowledgeable experts in the field of exercise and nutrition. And I think that's incredibly important, because What it shows me, though, that by it being on a list of trends is that people are recognizing that fitness professionals and nutritionists and coaches actually are as valuable as the doctors that we've turned to for so many years. You know, we look to medical professionals and we view them as being, you know, the epitome of the
education system of health.
Yeah. I mean, essentially that. And now we're recognizing that, hold on, there are experts in other areas that can play just as big of a role. I mean, we know that, many doctors don't get a whole lot of education around nutrition. They get even less around exercise. So for this to be something that people are looking for, they are seeking out professional assistance. Yeah.
People are more savvy today, you know, and I'll never forget, you know, going back to being pregnant again, delivering our first child. And I delivered our first child, you know.
I was there too.
You were there. My doctor was literally like, Mike, talk to me about training and nutrition. I'm like, this is my time. Like, this is my appointment. But I think it just really shed a light on the fact that, yeah, there are professionals in many different fields. You know, you're not going to necessarily find that on your TikTok or Instagram star. I think it's important to look at the qualifications that a person has to be speaking on a topic that they're speaking on. And listen, having a degree, like a doctor, I would say like medical field degree, is not the end all be all. I mean, there's people that specialize in gut health. There's people that specialize in exercise. And I think that as a society, when we give more value to that, I think that we become more empowered. You know, I always say to people when we coach them, I'm like, take what you want and leave the rest. You know, take what's important to you, take what's relevant to you and leave the rest. You don't have to take everything that someone says as fact and as word. And this is how I have to live my life. Exactly. And that's why I think it's important, you know, go to your doctor, get your blood panels and things, depending on the state you live in. You might actually be able to do that on your own or with a naturopath, which I think is really helpful. And then also, yeah, talk to your personal trainer, talk to the person at your gym, talk to the person with that degree and really take that information and disseminate it for yourself and be like, okay, medication or like this pill is not the only way to approach this. I can do this through lifestyle. And I think that that's incredibly important.
Well, before we jump to the next one, just to expand upon this, many of these tie into one another. So when we look at these trends, you know, there's things that overlap. And when we're talking about certified exercise professionals or nutritionists or whomever it is, if more people are seeking out that type of help, then it makes it more likely that in the future, insurance companies who are just looking for a way to make a buck, I mean, let's be honest about it. Everything flows around money. You just follow the money and you're going to come to the conclusion that companies, especially insurance companies, that's what they're after. So if they see that there is a way to make money by offering professionals as a means of people utilizing their insurance, then people are more willing to pay into their insurance and maybe pay higher premiums just knowing that they can get these other services available. So it becomes a win-win for the exercise professionals and the nutrition professionals, just lifestyle professionals out there that are trying to do the right thing by people and make this more accessible. And then on the other side, yeah, the insurance companies find another stream of revenue.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you vote with your dollars, people. So you create the demand, you know, it's got to be filled. Well, next up, I love this one. And that is mobile exercise apps. And gosh, we are seeing these pop up left and right. Who knew 6 years ago, Mike, when you created our exercise, or is it 7 years now, that this would be something that would become just so popular? So let's talk about how we can use these.
I think that there's multiple uses for it. I mean, the first and most obvious was during the pandemic when people did not have access to gyms. They began working from home and then never went back to work. They continue to work from home. Offices closed. People were looking for a more convenient way to exercise, and apps and videos and such just took off, like in a way that we could have never seen before. When we first developed ours, we really just did it as a value add for our clients. It was recognizing that many of our members would go away on vacation for weeks at a time during the summer. You know, some people are leaving for a month, 2 months at a time, and they're not coming back. And when they would come back, we learned that they weren't doing anything during that time. I mean, sure, they were being active, but their exercise really took a hit. So it just became a very obvious solution, like, well, let's give them us while they're away, and then they could keep up with their program. And now that has since evolved, where people are actively looking for this because they know that based in the busyness of their day, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be home, they're going to be working, but they have carved out the time to do their exercise. And mobile apps, I mean, it's having that personal trainer in your pocket. It's recognizing that, hey, help is literally just a text message away. I mean, it's no wonder that even in gyms, even in our own, that we're still utilizing this, even with people that we're seeing in person. So I think that there's tremendous value to the apps out there.
Well, and I just spoke to a woman yesterday and she had said, you know, I'll go to the gym, but I'm not always sure what to do. And so she's like, I'm not going to hire a personal trainer, like our schedules and her work schedule and all that stuff doesn't match. She's like, your app is great because I'm literally taking you guys into the gym with me. I'm popping in my headphones and like I'm able to do the workout exactly as prescribed and I get a great, you know, workout that way. So I think there's a lot of benefits, whether you're at home, in a gym, at a hotel, on vacation, you know, being able to have that mobile exercise app is great. Plus two, you become the holder of your own data. You know, for us, personal training charts, like those paper charts back in the day, like maybe you'd keep one, maybe you wouldn't, maybe your trainer would keep one. You actually have all that data at your fingertips. And again, you know, data is great depending on what you do with it. But I think it's really fun for clients when they come in and they do like our strength test on a quarterly basis. They're like, oh my gosh, look, like I got stronger. And they have all that tracking, all those metrics. So mobile apps are always great. You know, it's important to like the one that you're using, ease of use and stuff like that. And I personally love ours. I've taken it many a time to a hotel with me and worked out with Mike and he wasn't even there.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
All right, next up, we got exercise for mental health. And gosh, I am so excited about this one. I think especially the last 3 years has taught us how important our mental health or our mental well-being is. And I think, Mike, you pointed this out to me just the other day when I got back from the gym and he leaned in close and he said, I like workout Corey Bath. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really am happier after that workout. Oh, so yeah. Why do you think this is a trend?
Well, I think it's not just a trend. I mean, I really think that this is our future. I've mentioned it before. As we see more and more research coming out around the benefits of exercise, specifically resistance training, we're going to keep seeing a bigger push towards exercise as a way of treating mental health diseases and problems.
Because, yeah, be careful when you say treating. We could say helping. We can't say curing, right?
Well, I'm not going to say cure, but here's what I am going to say. The research has been clear that exercise oftentimes outperforms medications that treat depression.
Yes.
So I'm not saying anything that is not already known. It's something that's not communicated.
Okay.
And that's what we're here to do, is to communicate the truth around the benefits of exercise and better nutrition and better lifestyle choices.
Touché.
And that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay. No, I love that. Yeah. I think it's incredibly
important. Go ahead and come after me.
All right. Next up is youth athletic development. I mean, I'm just going to stop here for a second and say, heck yes, you know, like let's get after this earlier and younger. And second of all, kids today do not look like we did as awkward, dorky middle schoolers. I mean, these kids are fit. They're really savvy when it comes to health and fitness. And
well,
so I think
two ends of the spectrum. Hold
okay,
on.
Fine.
I'm going to definitely counter that with there is that other end of the spectrum. Kids today are also more obese than they have ever been in history.
I'm just thinking about kids in the gym, but yes, you're absolutely correct.
And I think this is where youth athletic development really comes in, because it's not just about athletes. I think it's about giving kids another outlet to get themselves fit, because up until now, any type of athletic development or kids being in the gym was all about being on the football team and having to be in the weight room, being a wrestler and having to go for your runs and do your conditioning exercises. Whereas now there's kids that they have no interest in those types of sports or activities. They have greater interest in being in front of the television, in their gaming seat. And this, though, provides another outlet where parents can say, hey, if you're going to do that, you're also going to be active.
Yeah.
And we're going to sign you up for this program.
Will you say that?
That's what I say.
All the time to our kids.
But I think when we look at the bigger picture, what's awesome about this is a kid doesn't have to be on a particular team or training for a sport. Doing this type of workout is applicable. And this is the same reason why we've seen many of our own clients bring their kids in.
Yeah.
Although we don't position ourselves as athletic development, we've certainly worked with a tremendous number of young athletes, some very high level. You know, that's never been the position of our business. But I think it's interesting that clients whose children were not necessarily athletes probably made up the largest number of this category that we've served.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome because to me, it says these parents recognize the need for their children to be doing more than what they currently are doing and having some type of structured exercise program. Listen, there's less gym in schools now. That's a fact. I mean, gym was a part of what we did at least two or three times a week as part of our curriculum. And in the past couple decades, those programs have been cut. There are fewer gym teachers. This is not a typical class today.
Yeah.
At least it's not as relevant as it once was.
Yeah.
So this is now that outlet for those kids who are missing that.
All right. Well, we'll take that. It's funny, you know, I guess watching like the 1% of athletes on social media, you know, you see these kids, you're like, oh my gosh, they're so incredible. We didn't look like that when we were that age. But yeah, I totally agree. I mean, especially just traveling around recently, you do see a lot more overweight, obese families, children. I mean, and yeah, it's incredibly sad. So I think for both ends of that spectrum, this is incredibly important,
yeah.
You know? All right. Next up. Personal training.
I love it. Has not gone anywhere. It is only increasing in popularity and for good reason. I mean, I think we already highlighted it earlier when we were talking about employing certified personal trainers or fitness professionals. And the reason is pretty obvious. People are recognizing that, hey, I do need more help. And whether that is in a one-on-one setting with somebody or in those small groups, this is where we're really seeing big influxes of people into our businesses, into the businesses of colleagues of ours. And it's exciting because for many years, personal training was considered nothing more than a luxury item. You know, when I have a little extra disposable income, I'll hire a personal trainer. So whereas for a very long time, this was considered something that only the elite could afford, now people just recognize, hey, this should be a part of my budget. In the same way that many other things are a part of my budget that are considered essentials. Because for some people, it really is essential. Getting that good workout can make such a huge difference in their mental health, in their physical health, in their work productivity. And this is why we're seeing now in the workplace, again, more opportunities through bringing in personal trainers and such to help their workers become more productive, feel better about themselves, have greater health. And when you have all those things, you have a better workforce.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I'll never forget a doctor years ago saying to me, I think I was like 16 years old. He's like, if you look at a glass dish underneath a microscope and the cells in that dish are not moving, what's wrong? And I was like, well, they're dead, right? He's like, exactly. We have to be moving our bodies. And I love that people are knowing that part of their budget is not just for the subscription, the, you know, media, the Netflix, like all the things that we have. There's a lot of subscription, makeup subscriptions, you know, all that stuff. It's your health is incredibly important. Preventative health is way more important than reactive health, you know, taking medicines and stuff like that. So the fact that I think as a population, we're realizing that, that is awesome. And even if, like, we're not saying that you got to sit here and spend hundreds of dollars a month on personal training, get a session with a trainer and learn how to properly execute so that you can go do better and be better. You know, I think that it's a great education and it's as valuable. I'm going to take a stab here. I think learning about your body and how to build a healthy body is as important as the education and knowledge that we get in school, you know, if not more. And unfortunately, again, coming from a public teaching background, that part was never taught. It was just, here's how to read, here's how to write, here's how to think, here's how to answer questions. You know, how about how I'm eating or sleeping or moving my body? So I absolutely love that one. All right. Next up, more of an integrated health approach. And we kind of covered this already in that more holistic, you know, view. And this is really a focus on integrating mental, physical, and social health. So it's moving away from treating fitness, stress management, gut health, sleep, and socializing as separate entities and actually looking at them from a place of interconnectedness.
I mean, I like this because it's recognizing that it's not just one thing that needs to be addressed. And that is how people typically like to approach their fitness or their health. It's, I have this one problem, so let me just deal with that. Not recognizing that maybe there is a cascade of issues that if not now, later will arise if you don't address this holistically. Yeah. And so I just love the fact that people are looking for more opportunities to engage in exercise or in programs that really touch on, you know, a wide range of things. And they're looking for programs that provide that social element while at the same time giving them help around their mindset, giving them help around their nutrition while helping their body to get better, get stronger. And so I know one of the programs that's really starting to take off for a lot of people is Pilates, because it does integrate a lot of those elements. And while, you know, we ourselves don't perform Pilates, what's interesting is just seeing how many of our clients actually do this as a supplement to the exercise that they're doing with us. And this is, I think, the beautiful part, though, of the fitness industry. You know, so many tend to look at what they do and say, well, this is it. This is the only way. And not recognizing that there is value in some of those other forms of exercise. Whereas I'll always argue that resistance training gives you the widest range of benefits, which cannot be refuted. There are other components of fitness that can be addressed just as well or in a different way. And for many people, just because of personal preferences, that's what they want to do. That's great. Yeah. We would never discourage people from doing it, as much as, again, I might sound anti-cardio. If people like to walk on a treadmill because during that time, it's their mental decompression, like there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So. Well, and to that point, I just want to be very specific too. We have a client that actually opened up a Pilates studio and she still comes for personal training. She's like, great, Beth, come and like check out Pilates. And like, I'm so open to that. So I do think that there's great value in the interconnectedness of that. And if you were not just describing our program when you were talking about fitness and nutrition and mindset and all that stuff, this next trend definitely does. And this is one I think that Mike is most excited about. And it is a strength training surge.
I mean, where do I go from here, right? I mean, almost enough said that it's finally being recognized that the most important thing that you can do for yourself as a human being is strength training. I'm just going to leave it there. Like, that's kind of like just a mic drop. Let's leave it alone. There's nothing else to be said. Strength training just continues to get more and more momentum behind it. And I love the fact that this has also continued to just keep moving up the list every single year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Nothing more to add. Next up is rucking, hiking, and outdoor pursuits basically are going to continue to flourish during this time. So rucking, I was like, Mike, what is rucking? It boomed as a trend in 2023. What the heck is it?
So that is your weighted vest or weighted backpacks and going for hikes. And a lot of this did come out of the pandemic when people were looking for opportunities to just get outside and be active. And since many could not be in a gym where they might be accustomed to pushing heavy loads and doing their resistance training, this became a really great alternative where it's like, hey, let me put on the heavy vest and go for a hard hike. And now you're providing a little bit more resistance to that activity that maybe you're accustomed to doing. So this will just continue to increase, I believe, as more and more people recognize the value of getting outdoors, especially if they're spending large parts of their day indoors and behind a desk.
Yeah. All right. Well, last up, recovery. Recovery is going to reign supreme. So I think as people realize how vital recovery is to their fitness routine, we're going to continue to see things like ice baths, cold plunging, you know, massage devices. Now you can get like a home sauna. That was never even a thought, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And even these sauna blankets are things that are getting more popular. So what is your thought on this?
No, I mean, listen, I think it's great because recovery is a very underrated element when it comes to our fitness and our health in general. And I like some of these things. Now, listen, there still have not been enough research around many of these things to really tout the value of one versus the other. In fact, let's just take cold plunging, for example. You know, I personally went through a period where I was doing really cold showers. And then when we had the opportunity to get to a cold ocean, I went and jumped in. And then we as a family went and did it. And there's definitely a psychological element to it where it's doing hard things helps us to become more resilient. But then there is looking at the deeper recovery aspects of it. One piece of recent research that came out was that, hey, cold plunges post-workout may be counterproductive to the workout that you just did. Mm. So whereas we see these things and we say, hey, there's value in doing a cold plunge, right? Because of the hormesis, meaning we're doing something that's stressful on our body for a short period of time, which then produces a positive result. But we also want to make sure the things we're doing are not counteracting the other good things that we're doing. So I look at this one and I say, yes, it's great that people are looking at different ways to recover, different ways of employing hormesis and building themselves up to be more resilient and recovering faster so that they can be more productive. That's all great. I just want to take all of it with a grain of salt. I personally love the sauna. And in the same respect, I love doing a cold plunge, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm implementing these things the right way and not doing it in excess.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, our six-year-old was upstairs in the boy's shower and I heard like this pitter-patter, pitter-patter. And I was like, what is he doing? And I hear him counting and he got to 60 and then the water shut off. And I'm like, what on earth is he doing? So I went up and I poked my head around the corner. I'm like, Grayson, what are you doing? And he was like, I turn the shower as cold as it can go and I stand under it for 60 seconds. I'm like, holy cow. That's amazing. You know, and for no other benefit at 6 years old than like he has set his mind that he can withstand something extreme for a set period of time. I think that that's so powerful. And I think probably, like, I'm not all about the ice bath. I actually don't love saunas. I hate steam rooms. It's, again, just my personal preference. But I think that the great benefit you pointed and touched on is our brain's ability to know that we can withstand something that's extreme. We can do hard things. I mean, listen, I will ski, you know, 20 runs nonstop, top to bottom. Like, that is more of my, I guess, like, speed or my level of satisfaction in doing something extreme or jumping out of an airplane with you, you know, like that stuff I really enjoy. But, you know, as far as the other stuff, not my cup of tea. Massage devices, though, on the other hand, heck yeah. I mean, that was your biggest Christmas gift this year.
It absolutely was. And I think that when we just, again, take a higher view of this, what we're really getting at, though, is what are the things that we should be doing for self-care?
Yeah.
And while you say that saunas aren't your thing, cold plunges aren't your thing, a massage might be.
It definitely is.
And
I'll take that one.
It's just recognizing, like, again, what things could we be doing to help our bodies recover? And yeah. So while skiing mentally might be great for you, it's still a stress on your body.
That's
so
true.
It wouldn't necessarily fall into that category of this is a great way of recovery, but it is a great way of addressing your mental health through
Absolutely.
Activity. And that's why I said earlier that many of these things definitely have synergy with one another. And I think that when we just look at the trends in general, I mean, what are we being told to do? We're told to be active. We're told to do hard things. We're told to be intelligent about recovering from those things. And truth be told, the best way of recovery is to just recover, just to rest, just to give your body a chance.
Say, sleep. Yeah. I like sleep a lot. And that's definitely a top recovery that I think is highly underrated.
Oh, absolutely. But it's putting all of these things together and finding out how you need to put them together. All of us are going to be a little bit different in what works for us from a personal preference point of view, from a scheduling point of view. And I think once you start to put all the pieces together, you have this nice puzzle that makes up your fitness program.
Yeah, well, that's it. The wrap up on the top trends to look for in 2024. Of course, we always have a lot of these things going on in our business. We invite you to take part in those or go out and look for the thing that's going to best serve your mental, physical, emotional needs. And, you know, at the end of the day, get moving, move your body. It's incredibly important and take care of yourself.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
Just cut that part.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.